Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Working. My name is Carol. I said that because when I sit in a chair on a Sunday, that's how everybody starts, by telling you what their name is. And I thought, well, they nearly all know my name, but I'll do what everybody else does and say, my name is
Carol.
Right. And I have the enormous privilege of leading worship this morning, because it's a very special day in Adele's life, and it's also a very special day in my life, just because of the connection that I and others in the congregation have had with Adele over the last months, as she's come to this point in her life of wanting to be baptized. And she has chosen, I think, six songs. I hope you've all come with plenty of air in your lungs, ready to sing. She's chosen six, so that meant I didn't get to choose any. But if I had, I would have chosen There's Joy in the House of the Lord Today, and I won't be quiet. I'll shout out my praise, because that's the way I feel. And I'm hoping that that's the way so many of you feel as we come to worship. But I have neglected to say a huge welcome to all of those who have come specially to support Adele, those who she's invited, and those who've come, whether she invited them or not, just because they wanted to be here. So a special welcome to you. A special welcome to anybody who's here in our congregation this morning for the first time. Nothing to do with Adele, just because you've come for the first time. You're very welcome, and I do hope you got a very warm reception. And I can assure you that when the service is over, there will be warm tea and warm coffee and plenty of biscuits. So do come and share with us in that. I'd also like to say a big welcome to the people who are in the back hall. And I think there might be a lot of people in the back hall this morning, just because there's so many people in here, there's not room for everybody. So if you're in the back hall, I don't think I'll hear you, but you're very welcome. I'm including you with everybody else. Now, normally, when we start the service, we don't really think we've started until we all stand up to sing. And until we stand up to sing, you don't switch on. You don't engage. Well, this morning, I'm going to say some things before we sing. And I want you to be switched on. So I was a teacher in my earlier life, and I'm used to looking around the class and seeing who is not switched on. And I think I've got your attention. When we come to the point in the service when Adele actually goes into the water, she's going to be asked to say, I do, to three important questions. And it's a very brief moment, and I don't think we always hear, well, I know until I got hearing aids, I wouldn't have heard, what those questions actually are. So I'm going to tell you what they are now, and then as we start our worship time, maybe we can see whether we in our worship are saying I do to those questions. We won't get the chance to say it out loud, but in our hearts, we could be saying, yeah, I do. I do believe that. I do feel that. The first two questions she'll be asked are, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? So as we come to worship and we sing these songs, which are really good songs, maybe we can be thinking, yes, is this song helping me to say, Father God, Saviour Jesus, Spirit, Counselor and Comforter, I believe in you. My life is dependent on you. I want to praise you. I believe in you, God, Father, Son and Spirit. Maybe that's something, as a group of people, not just one, that we want to say. And the second question that she's asked is, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour? Now, we're not going to confess somebody as Lord who isn't worthy, who doesn't deserve to be called Lord in our life. But when we think about the God that we worship, he is worthy. He's worthy of all praise and glory. He's got all power and authority. He is holy. One of the songs that we're going to sing is actually a favorite of mine. And it says, "Holy is the Lord." And all the people cry holy, and all creation cries holy, and all the angels cry holy. Such a God is worthy for us to call him Lord. Now there's a third question, but I'll leave that for now, because from my teaching years I know that if you tell people too many things at once, they forget most of it. So I have told you what the first two questions are. Let's sing two songs of worship. And remember, we as a congregation, not just one person, are saying, "I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Saviour." Let's stand together if we're able and worship. Father, we bring you our praise this morning. We bring you our thanks. We want to lift your name high because you are indeed holy and worthy of all our praise. We thank you for all that you have revealed to us of your nature, of the love you have for us, and the mercy and grace that you pour out on us. We thank you for all of those things, Father. We thank you for the fact that you have worked in so many of our lives, particularly in the life of Adele. And we thank you that you have created this occasion so that she can testify to your goodness and just encourage others to know you and love you as she does. We lift your name high this morning, Father, and we love to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. You take your seats for a moment. I want you to remember that the last part of the second question is, "I confess Jesus as Saviour." Because you'll find that no matter what we sing, there's nearly always a reference in there to the fact that it's because of what Jesus did that we are able to be in this relationship with God. And so we celebrate that practically every time we sing, that Jesus is our Saviour. And if you don't manage to pick out that fact from the things you're singing, you're not looking hard enough. The third question is, with the help of the Holy Spirit, do you offer your life in service to God wherever he may call you? And Adele will say, "I do." I would say, "I do." A lot of us here would say, "I do." And we do that not out of a compulsion to please an angry God, but out of a sense of gratitude and delight in a relationship which enables us to do the things that please God, the things he wants us to do. And one of the songs that Adele chose is actually called Gratitude. And that's the whole ethos of that song, to celebrate how much we are grateful to all that God has done for us. So we're going to sing two more songs now. Watch out for Jesus is my Saviour and for all that Jesus accomplished for us and offers us. And watch out for that idea of we serve him out of gratitude because he deserves it and because it's a joy to do that. So let's sing again two more songs.
Please stand if you're able.
Thank you. Will you take your seats? I just a little word of explanation as to what a baptism actually is all about. If you're not familiar with this kind of service, maybe it was a surprise to you to come in and find there's a great big pool of water in this corner. And actually I'm very pleased about it, because the steam from the water is warm in this place. And when I got here, I thought, it's cold in here. That water, it just came through the tap. There's nothing special about it. It hasn't been prayed over. It's just part of what I would call is a drama. Because baptism is a kind of dramatization of something which has already happened. It's a reenactment, as it were. It has symbolism in it that speaks to us of something that's already taken place. And the first thing that it says to us is, it's about cleansing. We get washed with water. When we get into a pool of water like that, we come out slightly cleaner, depending upon whether it was just a public swimming pool or whether it was a bath at home. But the whole idea is that we are washed. And there's a verse that St. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church when he started off by listing all kinds of things that were not the things that God would want us to do. We listed things that God had said no to. And then he said these words, in the past, some of you were like that. But you were washed clean. You were made holy, and you were made right with God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So the water that Adele is going to get into is symbolic of something that has been washed out of her life. It's like a clean slate, the beginning of something new. The New Testament tells us that Jesus told people, you must be born again. And when we come to Jesus, it's the beginning of a new kind of life, bringing to birth of the Spirit within us. So first of all, the drama includes the idea of washing. But then it also includes the idea of a dying and a coming back to life, which reminds us of the story of Jesus' death and resurrection and what they mean. Because Adele will go into that water, and then she will go under the water, symbolic of actually dying, and then she'll be raised up again, symbolic of a start of a new life. So it's a dramatization of something that's already happened, but a way of celebrating that publicly to give the opportunity to declare that this is the case. Now, if you still don't understand what baptism's about, Martin's here. He did say that he would do this part of the service, but I said, oh no, okay, I think I can manage. If, however, I haven't managed, if there's questions you want to ask, particularly if there's questions you want to ask about whether or not you should seek to be baptised, he is the person to speak to. He will look much more like the pastor of a church once he's been in the water, got out and got dried and dressed again. So Adele, would you like to come and tell us why you have come to this point in your life, how it happened, what this is all about for you?
It's on. Thank you. Okay. I spent a long time trying to get this just right, to find the balance between personal and the theological reasons, between the reason and the emotion that led to this choice. And then I remembered what God has told us in John 6:37. He says, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and all that comes to me shall not be cast out. Just one example of the come as you are that runs through scripture. So I decided to just come as I am and trust that while the words that I have for today may not have been easy to come by, God knows my true heart and my intention behind the words. The reason it's been so hard to find the words is because for me, baptism is a public declaration of what has been a deeply personal journey. God and the choice to follow Jesus came into my life at a time and through a path that I was not looking for and did not expect. But he knew what I needed to get me to take the leap from a vague understanding that there must be something more and an understanding that Jesus had actually lived to acknowledging that Jesus as the living God and Saviour. And what started me on that path was my beautiful daughter, Lulia. I came to church not for myself, but because Lulia wanted to. And while I accepted the notion of God, I rejected religion and what that represented to me. So God certainly brought me to the right place. What I found here was faith, a faith that began with the message of unfailing love. I heard God say, "You are loved, you are enough." My life, as I'm sure is true for many, has had many dark and difficult times. Maybe the most significant of these has been a father who was absent or toxically present, which left me spending much of my life feeling that if I could do, say, or be the right thing, I would be worthy of love. Added to that, much of my life has been plagued by health problems that meant that I felt that I was failing. My mother once asked me if I felt that my relationship with my father affected the way I saw all men. At that time, that was undoubtedly true. And it took the love and patience of a wonderful human man to change that. But most significantly, my relationship with my father changed my relationship with myself. And it's taken the acceptance of the love of God, a love that has always been there if I knew how to open the door, to begin the process of healing that. To come to Jesus and know that I am enough was a powerful feeling. However, I am nothing if not stubborn. And the journey from head to heart, that journey from head to heart took a little while. But on that Alpha Away day, I asked the Holy Spirit, with the help of some of the wonderful people that are here, to fill me with his presence. And I truly knew the love of Jesus Christ in that moment. So I come today as a flawed human being who wants to follow the light of Jesus and to reflect that light into the world. Before coming to God, I had thought that to be Christian would be many things, most of them not that great. Hard work, no fun, and I thought the church people were all a little odd. And while that last bit might be true of some of us, what I hadn't known before was that to follow Jesus is an honour and a joy. So I make the choice today to declare my faith, and because to paraphrase John 8:36, the Son has set me free, so I am free indeed. Thank you.
The song we're going to sing as they prepare the baptistry pool is one that Adele specially asked that we would sing either before or after she gave her testimony, because she said it was as she sang this song in church that the penny dropped, was her expression. So we're now going to sing This Is Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
Would you like to sit down? And could I say to the people in the back hall, if there's any with children who particularly want to be here to witness the baptism, now is the time for you to come.
Tell you what, Carol, it's lovely and warm in here.
Oh, good.
So you're safe.
Two more to go. And one more. There you go. So, turn around. It's our custom to give the person who's being baptised a verse of scripture. For some reason, Adele, you've got at least three verses of scripture here. I don't know, she got to choose six songs, and now she's got a long Bible reading as well. But there we go. It's from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19, which says, I pray out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And we can say amen to that, can't we? So, Adele, three questions for you. I better get these right after Carol's told us what they're going to be. Otherwise, I'll be in trouble. Adele, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
And with the help of the Holy Spirit, do you offer your life in service to God wherever he may call you to go?
I do.
Thank you. Step forward. Hands up. Adele, having heard your incredible testimony and hearing your faith in Jesus as Saviour and Lord, it now gives us the greatest pleasure to baptise you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks. Sorry, I'm dripping.
Okay.
That's because you're in a pool. Just bear with us a second.
I wasn't expecting the front to get wet. Let's pray. Mm. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this day. When Adele has made her public declaration to follow and accept you into her life. Thank you for the privilege it has been for everyone involved with Alpha and beyond to see her blossom in you. What an encouragement it has been. We pray for your full armour of protection over Adele as she travels on with you. May she recognise your loving and gracious kindness when on the mountaintops and in the valleys, and that you will always be walking alongside her. I pray this in your blessed name, Jesus. Mm. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, we thank you indeed for the changes in her life. We thank you for the healing that you've brought from past hurts and the way that you have revealed you yourself to be the best father and the best friend that anyone could ever have. And Lord, we just want to pray more healing into Adele's life. We want to pray more of your grace, more of your love. We pray that you would overflow her with your Spirit, that you would empower her to be a witness, that you would help her to grow into the fullness of the knowledge of Christ, as the verses that we read over her at the start said. May she know that she is enough, because you are enough, because you loved her from before the beginning of time, and there is nothing that can separate her from your love. Burn that deep into her heart, into her soul, and give her the peace and joy that comes from knowing the love of God in and through Jesus our Saviour. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Turn around, don't you?
Can you see where you're going?
Okay. Yeah.
The next thing it says on my sheet of paper is notices. This is usually a cause for great excitement. And I don't get that vibe. So there are a couple of people who've asked if they can have an opportunity to come out and give us a notice. But Martin, if he wasn't getting dry, would have been one of them to tell you about the welcome lunch. This is a lunch that is particularly for people who have started to attend here at this church, maybe say since the beginning of the year. The last 6 months, people who still feel that they're new, if you were to speak to them. And if you would like an opportunity to come together with others who are new and to meet some of the leaders of the church and other members of the congregation over a really delicious lunch, I'm pretty sure it will be really delicious, that will be happening on the 31st of May. And if you want to come to that lunch, you need to sign up. Otherwise, there might not be enough food. And in order to do that, you can either speak to Mike Sladen, who is probably somewhere here in the back with the children. That's his wife. She might do just as well. Or you can send an email. Wasn't that exciting? We're really with it, aren't we? You can send an email to mike@bbchurch.org.uk. And if all of that just goes in one ear and out the other, there are cards like this in the foyer. You could pick one of those up. If you want to come, there are ways that you can make sure you get there. Now, we have now Catherine, who has a notice from where she stood.
So this is a notice actually on behalf of Rachel, who's not here this morning. So the food bank are doing another food boost on the 19th of June, which is a Friday tea time. And there's an opportunity if people want to be involved in helping with that. To basically, for those that don't know, the food bank every so often do a food boost to kind of just help the people who have had food parcels along the way but don't necessarily need one right now, but just to kind of give them a little bit of a boost. So they get some basic stuff, just some cereal, some pasta and things like that. That beans. We get a lot of beans in the food bank, so everybody gets beans. But, so yeah, anybody who feels that that's something that they would like to help with, please contact Rachel. The planned time for that is from 3:30 till 5:30. We found that it works quite well coming straight after school. Families that have been done the school pickup and then will come. And we tend to try and have some fun stuff to do at the same time. So there'll be the table, football table out and the like a table with some colouring and things. And I think Rachel's hoping this time that we can have maybe one or two of the church interest groups having something going on in one of the smaller rooms as a demonstration of the fact that as a church we do stuff that's not just like this stuff, not just like church, but we do having fun together too. So if you're involved in one of the church interest groups and you think that's something you'd like to be involved with, then again, speak to Rachel.
What date was it?
The 19th of June.
Thank you.
Which is a Friday.
Thank you. And Ellen, please.
Good morning. This is a notice about... Oh, it's not about Tea Time Church, but Tea Time Church is on this afternoon from 4:30 till 6:00. So if you have young children and you fancy coming along, then please do come. Bring something picnic-like to share. It's a bring and share tea after a service, which is especially suitable for younger children. My other notice that I actually came to talk about was Holiday Bible Club. Woo! So every every summer we have run a week's holiday club for the community, and it's something that we're doing again this year, and it's time to sign up if you are able to help us. It's the 20th to the 24th of June. It's mornings
July.
That we... July, don't come in June. July, it's called Fish and Chips. So yeah, if you're able to sign up and help us, or you just want to know more about that, again, talk to Heather or talk to me about that. There'll be a sign-up sheet in the hall. We would love it if people could start signing up to say, yes, I'll definitely be there. When you sign up, can you just have a little think, Ellen, that's me, or Heather have my contact details? And if we don't, please could you come and give them to us, because otherwise it's difficult to be in contact with people. Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much.
Is there anybody else who has a burning desire to give a notice? We've got one more song that Adele chose. And at the end of this, not until the end, at the end of this, all of the children and young people will go to their classes. And normally they all go out that door, but if they try to do that this morning, we'll have a lot of accidents. Wet accidents. So they will be going out through the main doors at the end of this song. And that's, I think, every group that normally goes out is able to go out today.
Please stand to sing.
Yeah.
children would like to leave now. Also, if there are gaps in the middle of your rows, perhaps it would be good now to move in so that the people who are coming in from the back hall can find a seat. We come now to our prayer time this morning. And I think sometimes when we come to prayer time, we think of it rather like just talking to a friend, which is a good idea, because the relationship we have with our God is that kind of a relationship. But sometimes when you come and talk to a friend, you just want to unburden yourself, talk to them about everything that's going on in your life, and you don't really expect them to do anything more but say, oh dear, there, I know how you feel. And sometimes I think when we come to prayer, we come with that attitude. Whereas when we come to prayer, we come to a God who is able to do something about those situations. I was remembering just last night a story which I'm going to try and tell you, but I might not get it completely right, but you'll understand the point of it. It was about, I think it was a father and son who were taking a walk along a beach one morning, and they discovered that for some reason there had been a huge quantity, hundreds and hundreds of jellyfish stranded on the beach. And as they walked along, the father said, you know, they're going to die, there's nothing for them, they'll die if they're not in the water. And the son picked one up and threw it back into the ocean. And the father said, I don't know what difference you think that's going to make. And the son said, it will make a big difference to that one person, to that one jellyfish. And sometimes we think that the issue is too big, so we're not going to bother God with it because it's too big. But just remember that just the prayer of one person, which is powerful and effective, because that's what Scripture tells us. As I've read the Bible over 70 years, I've discovered it tells me that prayer is important, that prayer matters, that prayer is powerful. So as we come to prayer, we're coming to a God who can take our little prayer, just from one or from 100 people, if you all are in tune with what's being prayed, and he can accomplish something because there's power in prayer. So may that be our heart's attitude as we come to prayer this morning. And I shall pray, because that's my job, because I'm stood at the front. But I shall also leave time for you to think, what is on my heart? What is burdening me? There's so many things in the world that are burdening us at the moment. And if you want to actually pray that out loud so that the whole congregation can join with you in that prayer, well, please feel free to do so. But even if all you can do is say, Lord, you know how I feel about that situation, and please will you work in it, that's valuable. That matters. That is a powerful prayer, because it comes from a heart that is true to a God who is able. So shall we all pray together? Let's pray. Father God, we have witnessed today a demonstration of the power that you can wield in this world. You have been able to change Adele's life because she was willing for you to do that. And Father, I know that you are able to work in every situation in this world that we might bring to mind. And we want you to work in those situations. And my particular prayer this morning, Father, is for the nation in which we live. When I look at the media, at the newspapers, at the television, I could be so downcast so concerned at the way things are moving. And I want to bring that to you, Father. I want to say, will you move over this country of Great Britain? And will you touch the hearts of people in this country and turn them to you, just like you did for Adele? Will you work a kind of revolution within this country of turning us back to you, our God? We know it's a big thing to ask, Father, but I know that your heart is for the people of this world, and so your heart is for the people of my nation. And so I bring it to you and pray, please, will you work here, and may the blessing be to you. Amen. Now we'll pause, and it's your turn.
And so, Father God, we lift our prayers to you, knowing that we are heard, knowing that you receive each one in the spirit that it was given. And now, Father, I pray that you would be with Martin as he comes to speak to us, and that you would speak to us through the things he says, that we might hear your voice, your encouragement, your challenge. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning's reading is Matthew 9, verses 9 to 13. The calling of Matthew. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came in and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners."
Thank you, Carol, for leading us so clearly and keeping us in order. Anybody else scared? I was so worried I'd use different words for the promises after she said what she said. I love a baptismal service, and I am on record as saying I would quite happily do one every week if I got the opportunity. And not quite every week, and I don't know whether Carol said this or not, but in 2 weeks' time, Lulia is going to get baptised as well. So you can come back and do this all over again and really give God the glory for all that he's doing in their lives as a family. Now, couple of questions first of all. How many of us, and you are feel free to raise your hand at this, how many of us are on Facebook or X, formerly known as Twitter? Let's just take Facebook first of all. Yeah, that tends to be the old people's social media, doesn't it? That's the one I'm on. Anybody on X? Oh, not that many. That's interesting. And of course, other social media platforms. All right, Mike, you can put your hand down now. Well done. Other social media platforms are available. And I wonder if when you've been on Facebook or X or anything else, someone's asked you to follow them or invited you to follow them recently. Anyone been invited to follow any group or person recently? A few? Okay, good. Well, you know what we know what we're talking about anyway. I thought I'd check my Facebook account and see how many people, organisations or groups I follow. And I have no idea whether this is a big number or a little number, because I'm a bit of an old fogey now, so it's probably not that many. But I discovered that I follow 44 organisations, people or groups. And some of the youngsters in here are going, "Is that all? Come on, that's not many. It's enough for me, I'll tell you that." What I was shocked about was that in the last 5 years, I've only engaged with 26 of them. I've not engaged with 26 of them. So if you're quick with maths, you can work out how few I've actually connected with. It's 18, just in case you're wondering. If I'm wrong, Michael, tell me. And that got me thinking that the whole thing about the word follow and following, it's kind of got diluted, hasn't it? Because following someone on social media, for me at least, doesn't seem to mean a great deal. There's a click here followed by maybe one visit to their site or their page, and then the odds announcement from the site and the page, but not much else. And there's no real relationship involved. Those 26 groups, none of them have connected with me to ask me why I'm not following or why I'm not active. So, you know, well, I'm not going to follow you anyway now if you don't care. That's fine. They haven't messaged me to see if I'm okay. They haven't messaged me to see if I'm still interested. I didn't even get one of those, if you would like to unsubscribe type emails, please click here. And they're a bit of a con as well, aren't they? You click unsubscribe, then they go, are you sure you want to unsubscribe? No, I clicked it by mistake. And then you have to go through a whole, why are you unsubscribing? Mind your own business. So when someone says they have 20,000 followers, I wonder just how many of them really interact with the person or the site. The word follow has come to mean something a bit more detached in our society today. And we get asked about following things in other areas of life too, don't we? Someone in a conversation might say, are you following the news at the moment? Are you following the football, the rugby, or the cricket? What team do you follow? And that's actually a complicated question for me. Oh no, they go. What's happening here? So, I follow this team. Yeah, that was predictable, wasn't it? Yeah. Especially the Spurs fan at the back there. I follow this team, which is the mighty Peterborough United, having lived there for a few years. In fact, I've seen them play live more times than I've seen Chelsea play live recently. And I follow this team, which is the even mightier Biggleswade United. Not to be confused with Town or anything like that. So if you ask me which football team I follow, it's a little bit complicated. And actually, that can mean anything from looking out for the results on the day to actually attending a game, or as in the case of Biggleswade United, getting personally involved with the people and the club. To misquote Meatloaf, I guess one out of three ain't bad. And part of the problem, we've come to use the word follow in more than one way, as I've said, and it's so easy to dilute the meaning and miss out on what it actually signifies. And here in Matthew 9, Jesus makes a very clear statement to Matthew, and there is no mistaking what Matthew understands by it. Jesus saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he said. Matthew got up and followed him. Let's just do an example of that. Steve, follow me. Again. I hope he's not making rude faces or anything.
Come on.
He's supposed to be following, not trying to take over. Right? That's what Matthew did, without trying to trip Jesus up. Jesus didn't ask Matthew to fill in a form or receive a newsletter. He didn't ask him to click on a link. He didn't ask him to grab a scarf or a shirt. He didn't ask him to watch the news for reports of his ministry. He asked Matthew to do something physical, something far more than any of those things. He told Matthew to leave his past life behind and follow Jesus into a new way of life. And in the first century, disciples literally did that. They literally did most of what Steve just did. Wherever the teacher went, the disciples followed. When the teacher stopped, the disciples stopped, and they would sit at the teacher's feet and learn from the teacher. Then they'd get up and travel again. It was a physical, intimate, relational sort of thing. You don't get physical, intimate, relational sorts of things on Facebook when you click, and on X when you click, or whatever it is that you click. And this is radical stuff. In case you didn't know this, and if you did know it, tough, I'm going to tell you anyway, Matthew was a rich man. Because all tax collectors were rich men. Because what they did was they signed a contract with the Roman Empire to collect a certain amount of taxes for the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire said, oh, by the way, you can decide your own commission as you go along. So they would collect the taxes for the hated Romans, and then they would skim some extra, which didn't make them very popular either, but it did make them very wealthy. So he would have had a comfortable home, but then the other side of his life was that people hated him because of his job and because of who he worked for. I guess the modern day equivalent, and I hope I'm not going to offend anybody here, might be a traffic warden. Or somebody who works for HMRC. Or somebody who decides they're going to keep increasing our taxes, without getting too political, Rachel Reeves. People would shun Matthew at best. They'd cross the street to avoid him if they saw him coming. They'd insult him. Some of them might even assault him. But Jesus noticed him. Jesus stopped to see and to talk to Matthew. And Jesus changed Matthew's life with those two simple words, follow me. Now, it's likely Matthew knew who Jesus was because Jesus had been operating in the area. He'd probably heard him speak. He'd probably seen him healing and delivering. But the society of the day would have made him feel he would never be worthy of the attention of Jesus, that he wasn't good enough. I had no idea what you were going to say in your testimony when I prepared this. But it seems like you and Matthew might have had something in common. So when Jesus called him to follow, it struck something deep inside. And he literally stood up and walked away from his tax collector's booth, never to tax collect again. And the only thing we know for sure after that is that the first thing he did was throw a party for all his old friends to give them the chance to meet Jesus. Most scholars also believe that Matthew the tax collector is also Matthew the writer of the gospel that bears his name. Now, Adele and Matthew may have something in common, but I don't think she's a tax collector. And I don't think she's hated by the local community. Nope. Am I right? Check it, yeah. But much the same has happened to her. Jesus noticed her, and Jesus has spoken to her, and as a result, her life has changed as well. We heard all about that in that amazing testimony. Thank you for sharing that, Adele. And now, like Matthew, Adele is a follower of Jesus, not just a keyboard warrior clicking here and there to see what's going on, but someone who has handed their life over to Jesus because she knows that Jesus is the only one who can make sense of life, the universe and everything. Jesus is the one who has brought her healing and has brought her hope and has given her that new direction in life. And it's not even a just come to church once a week sort of thing either. Do you know what? That's religion. We try not to do religion here. Much more important is about developing our relationship with Jesus and with each other. And while it's important to come to church, that's part of following Jesus and being part of his community. It's life-changing because she's looking to Jesus, she's learning how he wants her to live, and she's making changes in her life as a result because of what he's done already. Remember, not to get him to like her because he loves her already, making changes that will reflect his love, grace, power and forgiveness in her life. And if you know Adele, you will have seen the change in her from before to after. Remember the symbolism of the baptism. She died to her old way of life. That old way of life was buried in the waters with Jesus. and then she rose to a new life. She's left the old one behind, walked away from it, and entered a new way of living, just as Matthew, the tax collector, did. That begs a question. Why? Why have you done that? Why go through all this and put yourself through having to talk to all these people? Why? Because she has discovered the love of God for her. She's discovered that she too has been noticed, that she too is loved, and that she too has had her sins forgiven through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Which is what gives him the right to demand that we follow him every day of our lives, in everything that we do. Later on in Matthew's gospel, Jesus puts it a bit more bluntly. He says, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. A cross was a very clear demonstration to people in that society of the person carrying it, his destiny. If you saw someone carrying a cross, you knew they were going to be executed. These days, it's often just a pretty little trinket that we wear around our necks, a lot of people. It means a lot to those of us who know Jesus, but I've also heard stories of people saying, can I have a cross with a little man on it, please? And can I have a big gold one or a silver one or whatever? But if in the first century AD, if you were walking around carrying a cross, and it wouldn't be a little silver one like this, it'd be a whacking great big wooden one, people would know you were going to be nailed to it and you were going to suffer an excruciating death. And Jesus is saying that following him is like dying to your old way of life and letting people see that you're now living in a new life. And baptism, as Carol said earlier on, very, very clearly, very, very well. Well done, Carol. That was great. It's that drama of what's happened to Adele. And it's pretty clear from that Jesus is calling us to do more than simply watch or spectate from a distance. He calls us, if I may use the analogy, to join his team, to come along to weekly training, and to be ready to play in the match, representing his side, getting involved with his work of showing God's love to the world. You know, it's amazing that Jesus cared about Matthew, who was so hated and despised. And it's amazing that Jesus cares about Adele. It's amazing that Jesus cares about you and me. And wherever you are on your faith journey this morning, whether you're part of the way there exploring what it is about Jesus that is so attractive, or you just come along today because someone you know was getting baptized and you got told you had to come, or whatever reason, wherever you are on that, the truth is that Jesus cares about you. Full stop. He didn't say, Matthew, sort your life out, then come and follow me. What he actually said was, Matthew, come and follow me, and I will give you a new life. Romans 5, verse 8, tells us, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Sinners, it's another word for God's enemies. Christ died for us. It would be a bit like Mr. Zelensky dying for Mr. Putin. Ooh. One of the Ayatollahs dying for Mr. Trump. You get the idea how big this is. Except when Jesus died for us, it made an eternal difference, because Jesus, being the Holy Son of God who had never sinned, never done anything wrong, is the only one who is able to say to me, Martin, I love you, and I died for you, and because I rose again from the dead, you can have every confidence that what I say is true and can be trusted, that your slate has been wiped clean, that you've walked into a new way of life, that you are forgiven, you are free, and you are loved. That's the difference Jesus makes. None of us actually deserves the love or grace that Jesus shows us. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We deserve to be punished for what we've done, for the way we've rebelled against God, ignored God, stuck two fingers up at God, whatever you want to call it. But in his grace and his love and his mercy, God sends Jesus to stand in our place. And Jesus takes what we deserve because he loves us, and he gives us what we don't deserve, which is his love in full measure. And that's what makes it so amazing. That's what makes it imperative that we understand what it means to follow him and live our lives according to his word and in the power of his spirit each and every day. Wherever we find ourselves and whatever we're doing, Jesus is now working in Adele and giving her his direction, his power to live for him at home and in the classroom and wherever else she finds herself. And anyone who has done what Adele has done, Jesus is giving us the power and the grace to live for him wherever he has called us to live, wherever we find ourselves, right here and right now. And again, it's not about being religious. The religious people in this passage, the Pharisees, were opposed of what Jesus was doing. They looked down on him for associating with tax collectors and sinners. Those people, don't you know that they're not good enough? That's what religion says. Religion says you're not good enough. Religion says you're not loved. Jesus says, even though you are a sinner, you are loved with an everlasting love. And the religious people mumbled and grumbled and moaned and accused him. But Jesus, what a great response. He says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. The Pharisees were sick, they just didn't realize it. They considered themselves righteous before God. They considered themselves healthy spiritually, but they looked down on everybody who wasn't. That would be a bit like you or me looking down on someone who's got a cold when we haven't. Someone who's broken a leg. Someone who's got a chronic illness or a terminal disease. It's ridiculous when we say it like that, isn't it? Absolutely ridiculous. But this was the attitude that was around from the religious people. And Jesus says it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. When we realize that we are sick with this disease of sin in our lives, we need to find the person who can heal that sickness. We need to find the person who can cure that sickness. Just like you might go to a specialist for cancer treatment, or you might go to a specialist for a broken leg, whatever it might be. Jesus is the specialist who can heal and set us free from the sickness of sin and guilt in our lives. And the Bible makes it very clear, anyone who lives in a way that goes against God's love and mercy, that person is sick. And that person needs the healing only Jesus can bring. In that encounter with Jesus, Matthew realized that, and he received the healing he needed. Adele's discovered that for herself too, and that's what we're celebrating today. This could be the equivalent of Matthew's party for the tax collectors and the sinners. Should have got badges made, shouldn't we? And you know, if you get a tax collector's badge, you sit on this side. If you get a sinner's badge, you sit in the middle. You lot, I don't know, really. So as we draw to a close, here's a question. How about you? Are you sick? Are you living outside of God's love and mercy? Maybe you're following Jesus from afar, but not really involved. Could it be that today, in this service even, you realise that he's noticed you and is inviting you to follow him as Adele has chosen to follow him? And how would you respond to that call? Would you jump up from your particular seat, wherever you are at the moment, and follow him? And if you're a follower of Jesus already, maybe you need to hear these words again, because maybe your following has become a bit more of the Facebook type. You've put some distance between yourself and Jesus, maybe the pressures of life or whatever. Could it be today that Jesus is calling you back to him, to follow him more closely, to rediscover the joy of that relationship? And as Carol said earlier on, one of the things that declares we are in a relationship with Jesus more than anything else is going through the waters of baptism. And yes, I would be delighted to talk to anybody who's got any questions about baptism. Actually, so would Carol, wouldn't you? Just bounce it back on you there. So please, any questions about Jesus, any questions about faith? If you've got questions, come and ask, please. If you decided, yes, I want to follow Jesus, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that in a moment. I'm going to pray a prayer and just invite you to pray it with me. Then all I want you to do after that is to Come down here. There'll be some people with some orange lanyards on. We call them the prayer team. They're all right. They're quite nice people, really. And just say to them, I've just committed my life to Jesus. Will you pray with me and help me on those first steps? We're not about religion here. We're about relationship. We're about the truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that anyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Maybe today is your turn to step from death to life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we have heard of your power, of your love, and of the way that you change lives. We've heard you invite us to follow you, and we can follow you because you have made a way for us through your death and your resurrection. You are worthy of being followed. No one else actually is. Everyone else lets us down at some point or other. So Lord Jesus, this morning, whether it's for the first time or the 101st time, we choose to follow you because of your love and because of your mercy shown on the cross and because of the power of your resurrection. We know that when we choose to follow you, we are forgiven, we are renewed, and we are made into your follower. This morning we choose to do that. Come to us by your Spirit. Fill us with your presence. Heal our hurts and fill us with your grace and your love, we pray. Help us to take those first physical steps in following you. And Lord, if we've been following you for a while and we've drifted away, please help us to commit to drawing back today. And if we're following you and we've never been baptized, maybe today is the day you're calling us to do that. Help us to make that decision and to talk to someone about that today. But Jesus, we thank you for your power, for your grace, for your love and your forgiveness, which we all receive and choose to use to follow you in the days, weeks, months ahead. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you notice us and that we matter to you. Amen. 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 We're going to close with a song that Adele hasn't chosen. And it's a song that reflects the greatness of what it means to follow Jesus and just how important that is to all of us in this world. So I just invite you, if you're able to stand, and we'll sing All I Once Held Dear.
Oh,
as we go from this place of celebration, may we go convinced that we are loved by God. May we go choosing to follow Jesus, to build relationship with him. May we go knowing that we are forgiven and free because of what he has done for us on the cross and through his resurrection. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest on us all each day and evermore until he returns or calls us home. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming, everyone. Don't forget tea and coffee. Just be careful around the pool there.